My guest at this time is Jed Babin. He's the former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense. He served in the administration of George H.W. Bush. He's also written several books. The most recent is The BDS War Against Israel. We want to get his national security expertise in the wake of North Korea's communist government announcing that they wanted their nuclear weapons prepped and ready for use within the past day. And Jed, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you, Greg.
The CNN story on this says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said the country's nuclear warheads need to be ready for use at any time under the extreme situation that the U.S. imperialist is misusing its military influence and is pressuring other countries and people to start war and catastrophe. The only way for our people to protect sovereignty and rights to live is to strengthen the quality and quantity of nuclear power and realize the balance of power. Is this just in response to the U.S. passing sanctions, or is there more to this?
Well, it's the U.N. passing sanctions, and really that's about all there is to it. You know, they've got some bigger restrictions now. Ships going into and out of North Korea are going to be stopped and inspected, or at least that's the theory, and they've lost the opposition of the Chinese to those sorts of sanctions. The Chinese went along with it, and the U.N. Security Council was unanimous in putting these sanctions in. So they're very angry about that, but the question of their nuclear weapons, yeah, I really can't believe there's much to this, Greg. I mean, even Kim Jong-un, I mean, the guy is not very smart, and he's certainly not anyone to be relied on for anything. But even he has to understand that if they popped off a nuke, say, in South Korea, getting it there by truck or whatever, or even if they have the ability, which I doubt, to fire a ballistic missile like into Japan, their country would be vaporized immediately. And quite frankly, there ain't much to vaporize because that place is, quite frankly, in the Stone Age. And the only place that's even lit at night is the capital city of Pyongyang. I mean, one decent nuke over there and the country is just gone.
So in addition to protesting the UN sanctions, if this is an idle threat, a lot of times when the North Koreans act out, they want more money or they want multi-party talks, which usually don't amount to much. So is there anything else you think they might want here?
Well, I think they want more money. They want to get bribed to, you know, keep quiet for a while again. And, you know, they're going to be doing the things that they always do, which is, quite frankly, run around and scream and shout. The problem we have, though, is at some point, you know, Kim Jong-un and his generals are going to decide that they have to do something. And when that happens, we don't know. We won't know it until they actually do it. We don't have much intelligence capabilities over there. I mean, probably none. We could probably intercept some communications by them, but there's really nothing much there. And I'm sure we do not have active spies there because that's a completely closed society. So, you know, the real issue is, when do they actually get hot enough to try to do something? And that's the unknowable. I mean, someday, sometime, I mean, whether it's tomorrow or 25 years from now, those guys are going to start another war, and we're going to just have to be prepared for it.
Ted Cruz in Thursday night's debate talked about how he believes the Clinton administration's mishandling of the nuclear issue 20 years ago set the stage where our options are fairly limited in terms of a long-term strategy to reduce the nuclear threat from where we stand right now. What's the right approach?
Well, Cruz was right, number one. You know, Bill Perry went over there and negotiated a big agreement with North Korea that provided them with oil and so forth as a bribe to not develop nuclear weapons. And, of course, they used the oil to power their society for a little while and, quite frankly, built the nukes anyway. So, yeah, I mean, Cruz was right. But having said all that, right now I think the sanctions are the right approach. I think there's not much else you can do there because I don't see that us invading North Korea is in any way a good idea. And I don't think anybody else is going to. The only other thing we could do, which, of course, President Obama will never do, is to pressure the Chinese more to bring these guys to heel because, of course, North Korea is a client state of China, and China has the, well, really the biggest danger from them, aside from the greatest relationship with them. China fears a lot, a great, great fear in the Chinese regime is for North Korea to fall for some reason and for millions of North Koreans to go fleeing across the border with China. And they don't really want to have that happen. So maybe more pressure on China would work a bit. And I think that may very well be something we're going to have to do pretty soon because the Chinese, frankly, don't want to take this problem on but they need to. They're the best way to do it.
We're talking with Jed Babin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense. And, Jed, obviously, it's a very secretive regime, so we don't know much about what goes on there on a day-to-day basis. The Chinese obviously know more. But given what we do know of just how unpredictable Kim Jong-un is with his hair-trigger instinct, apparently, to kill people in his regime that he thinks are disloyal or who disagree with him, how nervous do you think the Chinese are about what he might do?
Well, I think they've got to be fairly nervous, but I think they're also, you know, they obviously have relationships with his government. They've got an ambassador there, and Lord only knows what else. I think they must be pulling some strings pretty hard, and, you know, they may even have given him permission to make this big blustery statement now, knowing that he can't really launch a missile with a nuclear weapon, because I don't believe they even have one. It's a big deal to develop a nuclear weapon. It's a big deal to develop an ICBM. However, to get an ICBM mated with a small enough nuclear weapon that will survive the G forces in the takeoff of a missile and actually be able to re-enter the atmosphere and successfully detonate a nuclear weapon, that's probably several years beyond what these guys can do.
Does the Chinese approval of these sanctions, is that just face-saving on their part, or is that their way of trying to actually control North Korea?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Chinese want to look good in the eyes of the world, and certainly they are very familiar with the dangers of the North Korean regime. But I think that they want to look better than they did previously, and they want to look responsible. Look, they're one of our biggest trading partners. We've got an enormous trade deficit with them. They don't want to upset that. And at some point, they realize that they have to satisfy us at least a little bit. Again, I don't think this is going to be any skin off of their noses, but I do think it's going to be helpful if the sanctions are actually enforced. And that's the big if, because when these sanctions are put in place, as they are now, the question is, who's going to stop all of those ships coming in and out of North Korea? I mean, are people really going to follow the ban on selling them even small arms? I don't know that that's actually going to happen. There's a lot of other rogue regimes in the world. I mean, heck, Venezuela has an AK-47 factory that I'm sure they would love to sell a couple of thousand AK-47s to North Korea. The desperation in Venezuela, they're basically broke. I mean, they're really entirely broke. The whole nation is completely bankrupt. You know, they really need some foreign trade, and they'll do it by selling, you know, whatever they want to North Korea. So that's just one example, and there's probably at least a dozen other countries that'll do that sort of thing.
Well, plenty of problems and conflicts to solve here, but the big headline, as you mentioned earlier, is that you don't think this means that Kim is actually likely to use them anytime soon, especially given the missile technology. So that's the bright spot here, I guess, with a lunatic regime.
If you're looking for a bright spot, that's a small one, but yeah, it's pretty important.
Jed, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Jed Babin is a former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the administration of George H.W. Bush. He's the author of several books, the most recent being The BDS War Against Israel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.